Okay, so let's have a moment to tune into the energy that we are all in together. And just close your eyes and drop inside with a couple of nice, full, soft breaths. Just let yourself relax in your chair. Be in your own little island space. And then feel that center of your body where your heart is. Feel it either with your consciousness, with your hand, with your mind. Just breathe there and be there. We have a really powerful, beautiful new moon today, and it's all about love. So you may want to create an intention for this day or this journey to give you more of an opening into the love that lives inside, the love that comes from this beautiful family, everyone, heart to heart connected, and the love that comes from outside of this room, in this beautiful area that greets us, that thanks us for spending time there in spirit. And then to feel that place in your heart, the love that brought you here to this room, to this journey with the rest of your family. And let it be a journey in love and self-discovery. Meeting new people, feeling new feelings, and giving that love back to yourself in perhaps a way that you haven't allowed yourself before. And that begins with the loving message tonight from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. It is the beginning of still another tour, an excursion. A tour in a place that is very special. A tour of energies, of stories, of history, of legends, of traditions and mythology. And in this channel, I'm going to reveal numbers of things which will be highly controversial because of the area I stand in and the attitudes and the knowledge and the stories and the traditions and the legends. And I will give you things to ponder. And I'll tell you some of the reasoning behind why this area, among all of the areas on the planet, has so much of this. I already mentioned is that this is a node, dear ones. As already mentioned, the crystalline grid, which remembers human behavior and emotions, is extremely strong. And that combination creates an area where there are so many stories. And there are so many heroes. And I'm going to talk about that. But also something has been mentioned that I have not really talked about until now. And this is the area. Even though this is not part of the study, you all know, don't you, about the patterns in the grass. And this is the area. On this planet, other places will have patterns in the grass, dear ones, but not like this. They are constant. Some of them are daily. Some of them are so expected, people are standing by waiting for them. Why here? Why here? It's the same reasoning of what is coming. But first, some of the technical things that you have looked at regarding those who study the patterns. The patterns are beautiful. They're filled with symmetry. Some are filled with messages. Some look like they have even patterns of DNA. And you know there has to be some intelligence behind them. It couldn't be just random. There are so many. They're so beautiful. And the big mystery, the grass is flat. Completely flat. And when you go into these patterns and you walk among them, there's no breakage. Not one part of it is ever broken. The grass is still whole, dear ones. And so, therefore, the human being says it's impossible. And it has to have been created by an outside source, probably an ET. This goes totally against logic, what I'm going to tell you. Dear ones, these patterns are pulled into the grass from below. That's the crystalline grid. That is the grid that is so powerful here. It remembers consciousness and transforms it into patterns. That is multidimensional physics. Ask a quantum physicist if there are patterns that they are discovering that are different from anything you've seen. And they would say, yes, we are starting to see that that which is multidimensional has patterns. You're starting to see them already. But they represent messages, and the messages are, again, from the past. They are the ancestry that is remembered in the grid, that is pulled literally into the grass, giving you these formations. Now, we have told you before this, that against all odds and archaeology, there have been civilizations before this one. Four. And these civilizations are starting to be discovered. On this planet, you will find discoveries based upon your new technology of ability to look through the ground that will give you information on structures. You'll discover writing, languages that never existed, and technology you did not think anyone had. Dear ones, the last civilization that you don't even know about, before 9,000 years ago, had electricity. Electricity is basic. It is not a mystery. It is in nature. It is there to be discovered. There was technology. Right now, to some of your ears, those listening, you'll say that's laughable. It couldn't be. And I will say to you, just wait. Because the discoveries will beg the question, who was here? What civilizations? These are your ancestors, and they were here in this area, surrounding the node that is here and a crystalline grid that is powerful. It attracts people. These are the ones that are giving you the messages of the science they had, even of the knowledge of DNA. There are patterns in the grass that tell a story and give messages, and they are you for you. Pulled, not pushed, not stamped, but pulled from the grid below. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about something that is extremely controversial. It is the energy of the area. It's the stories you'll be told. It's the mythology, which I'm going to redefine. I don't like the word mythology, for it seems to indicate a falseness. None of it is really false. Not really. Because as I said before, I'm going to label it tradition. The tradition is real. And in order for me to try to begin to explain this, I will tell you the subject. Arthur. Now we get in trouble. Because wherever you go in this place, and whoever you talk to, will have a different story. And that in itself ought to tell you about Arthur. Turn the page for a moment. The civilization that you call humanity has all something in common you should know about. We mentioned it before, very slightly, even in this journey. And that at the basic level of humanity, human beings are interested in coming out of the dark into the light. It is inbred in you. It pushes you forward with free choice. Each human being loves the stories of the heroes. From being a child to an adult, you will often be so blessed and feel so wonderful with the stories of the past that all are very, very similar. And they tell a story of a human being, which represents every man and woman, on a journey of difficulty, a journey with solution coming into the light from a place of darkness or difficulty, winning the game of life. And your philosophers all through history have seen this, have identified it as the hero's journey. Let me start at the beginning. In this civilization, the one that you know about, the one you have literature to look at, it is so obvious. Every single classic journey, right up to the latest one, dear ones, has the same identical attributes. You have an individual, man or woman, who has a task that seems impossible. And that task will then be accomplished, and they will go out on a journey to accomplish it. And with that, they will have friends, associates, partners to go with them. Often there would be two or three, sometimes many. But they are the ones who have the vision to go. It doesn't stop there. For they will then battle odds that are unbelievably against them. And every single time, they will achieve a victory of sorts. Sometimes it leads to a more difficult victory, a more difficult solution or challenge. And many times the journey will last years. Sometimes it will not. Along the way, there is something else. In every single journey, mysticism, magic of some sort that is otherworldly. Every single one. Many times the villains that they slaughter or energy that they slaughter. And slaughter is a word that means eliminate. Also has the magic. And so you start to look at the history of this. And the one that is probably the most famous for you comes from poetry of Homer. And one of the stories was Jason. And when Jason embarked with the Argonauts, in his story, which became epic, it had every single element. He had to battle the dark side many times. He had to face magic many times. He was given magic over and over. He was part of a greater whole. He had associates with him. And in the end, he slayed all of the dragons, you might say. This was the journey of the hero. And it exists even today as a classic. And humans are encouraged to read it, to study it. The media has made movies of it. Stories have been developed around it that go way beyond anything that Homer wrote. And it continues to this day. And that's the ancients, that's the Greeks. Oh, now let's go current, because that story is repeated over and over and over. The Lord of the Rings. You have the hero. He's out to slay that which is the darkness in his land, and he takes accompanying fellows with him. This time, he even has a wizard. And there is magic. There's magic from both sides, dark and light. And he has to face many battles, and one of them is within himself. This is Homer, reinvented again in a modern form through a series of writings and books so that you could see again the mythology of the hero's journey. Was this history? And the answer is, in a way, it was. It's the consciousness of human beings who drive it forward, who read it, who love it, who make the films about it. And the classic becomes something rewarding to humans who will absorb it and want to see it again and again. Because it's them. If you want to get very, very current, let's skip to George Lucas. And in the saga that he wrote, and he wrote it, it was literature, you have again the hero facing the darkness. And it emerges that he has the Force. He even has a little wizard. And these are the things that I echo Homer again and again. It's Jason revisited again. And there is a conquering of the dark side repeatedly. And he takes a band of comrades with him. That's fairly current. Oh, but it continues. Even more current. The little boy with the glasses and the magic wand. There is what he has to battle that is a series of monsters of darkness all by himself. And he takes his comrades along, and he has a wizard. Do you see where we're going with this? This hero's journey, dear ones, philosophers have known for years. And they say that it represents every human being's hopes and desires for everything that is good. For them and their family, for the earth itself, and for the civilization and the race called humanity. And it's been with you forever. I just gave you some pointers of this civilization. I would like to introduce you to Arthur. Was Arthur real? The answer is yes, all of them were real. Where did it really originate from? You're going to find it in Welsh poetry. Again, the Greek poet who gave us Jason is much like the Welsh poet who gave us the story of Arthur. Not only was the story believable, There are places that you could point to and say, well, this is very, very similar to the story. There's a couple of places that you could go to and say, well, yes, we believe that this happened here. There's a place called Stirlingshire with a town called Camelon. Very similar. What really happened? Dear ones, if you take a look at the legend of Arthur, of all that happened around him, of the wisdom of the Round Table, of the knights, pieces and parts of that story are as real as it gets, and you can touch them. Because certain things indeed happen, pieces and parts. But if you analyze the entire thing, you'll realize that it is a conglomeration of many heroes on the hero's journey. There are so many versions of Arthur, he would have had to have been hundreds of years old to accomplish them all. He even had something to do with the Grail in one of the stories. So it expands itself. As I said before, the villains are vilified and the heroes are amplified. Arthur was real in so many ways, and there were individuals who carried a portion of the story in actuality, but not the whole picture. That, my dear humans, came from the mind of a poet, telling the hero story that became something that you can touch and feel in this place. Magic. Arthur even had a wizard. Merlin existed at some level, to some degree. The legends of Excalibur are part of what Luke has with the Force. It is all there for you to examine in its beauty and its legend. It's not mythology, it's tradition. To take pieces and parts of the best part of humanity, the most heroic things and wise things that ever could happen, and put them together and tie them with human beings with names and faces and love stories and magic. So you will see this on your journey. But know this, it's even more than you're being told. Was Arthur real? Absolutely. All of them. Think of these things as the magic of what you are going to see in these next days starts to appear. You might even see a wizard. And so it is.